I can't tell you how many divine appointments and how many souls are being assembled for one of the greatest moves we've ever seen. I'm telling you, every day I feel like I'm living in the book of Acts, and all my life is connecting dots and moving from divine appointment to divine appointment, people coming and just saying, I want to know the Lord. This wonderful man who has such a tender heart before the Lord. He is a believer that went to get our tent. I called and just was talking about just the deal with it and, you know, like some of the logistics. And he said, it's funny because he said, like, the last church I tried to join, they asked for my tax return. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, Pastor, why do you need my tax return? And he said, oh, because this is when they first met. Because I need to decide, you know, we need to determine your tithe and work out the payment plan. So we joked around. So when I called him to take the trip, and I'm telling you, this is just an example of tons of situations like this, tons. And he said, yeah, Pastor, so what do you have to do to join your church? And we both kind of laughed because of the story beforehand, like the week before. And I said, don't worry, I won't ask for your tax return. And then he starts to share and just share how he's been looking for a place, and he's just really excited. And then he was starting to talk about, like, I was like, you know, there was a lot of things that he's done paying for different things for the church. And so I said, I want you to realize, like, you know, we're not here to take advantage of you. Like, we really want to reimburse you. And he said, oh, no, Pastor, like, you know, this is part of my, what you call it, your tithe. And he said, I want to sow this. I have to stand before God. And he's going to look at my heart and say, have you done what I've asked you to do? And I have to stand with integrity and purity of heart. I mean, this kind of stuff is happening like mad, like crazy. So I want Josiah to come and just share. He has such a strong word of encouragement in his heart. And then I want to just bust right into what I feel like the Lord's saying. This is all kind of preparation and backdrop.
Thanks, Sean. Good morning. In the spirit of preparation for where we're going and what the Lord is releasing, we got to understand that God's glory, his power, blessing, promotion, the release of wealth, the release of presence and anointing. If you have not prepared and readied your heart, that can destroy you. Great power requires a heart, a spirit, a character that's been prepared that can steward the grace of God. And so with the increase of what God is entrusting us with, that's one reason why we are in a season of consecration, to get ourselves ready so that we can steward well and contain the fullness of what God is releasing. Let me give you a quick visual picture. I want to read this scripture out of Isaiah 66. And I'll just keep it short here, but some of you may be familiar with Captain America. You know who he is as a Marvel comic. He's a super soldier. Okay? Great character. Basically, there was this experiment during World War II. They were looking for the right type of candidate to roll out this super soldier serum. But basically, it would enhance your qualities. They were very selective on who they chose because it would enhance the internal character qualities. Either the good would become gooder, the bad would become worse. And so they went through a series of tests to find the right person. And initially, Captain Rogers, you know, was this puny, weak, frail, frame, sickly young guy that had a heart of a lion. Anyway, long story short, he became Captain America. The personification of goodness, righteousness, uprightness, courage, leadership, sacrificial giving. Beautiful. Long story short, he passed on, aged out in the whole series. And they've made this now this new TV series called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And it was all about, see, Captain America initially had passed on his shield to his right-hand man, Sam. And Sam, out of fear, felt like he couldn't do it, couldn't take that. He goes, I'm not him. So he passed it on. America was still looking. The nations were still looking for a hero. They elected some other soldier that had done all kinds of other tours in Iraq and was a highly decorated person. And they gave him the Captain America shield. He started playing the role as his agent. In this story and in this saga, they were trying to actually shut down the propagation of more super soldier serum that was happening. They were trying to create more super soldiers out there. These rogues were. And long story short, this new Captain America found, in trying to bust up the situation, found one last vial. They were on a mission. Sam was on a mission to destroy them all. They didn't want any more made. One was left. And it was a moment of testing for Captain America. He saw it. He hid it. And you can start seeing in this guy's character, he was a little tapped. He literally had some unresolved things in his soul and his mind. And what happened was he ended up taking the super soldier serum. Not knowing, he was a little fearful. What's this going to do to me? I don't know how it's going to affect me. And what happens, he takes the serum. And at this last show, he ends up, can't control himself and violently hurts and kills another person. And everyone around them is watching him with a phone. And it's Captain America as he has bloodied his shield and lost control. He's abused the authority and the power that he had. And that's where the cliffhanger ended. But it was all the more a word picture to show that the type of power and release of God's glory he wants to give us, that if we have not dealt and prepared our hearts, prepared our minds, that it will cause us to misuse the favor, the blessing, the authority, the influence, the wealth that God wants to entrust us with. And as a people and as individuals, we must fear the Lord in this time and prepare our lives. The sacrifices of God are not just our songs and our financial giving and our religious antics. The sacrifices of our God are of a broken and contrite spirit, a humble heart who trembles at his word. That's what Isaiah 66 says. He goes, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build for me? And where will be the resting place for me? Has not my hands made all these things and so that they came into being? These are the ones in whom I will look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And he goes on, and this is the hour we're in right now. He goes, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not deliver, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? And he goes on to say, rejoice, rejoice. You will nurse and be satisfied. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. I'm going to extend peace like a river to you and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. And you will nurse and be carried on the arm and dandled like on the knees. But the wealth of the nations is flowing to you. And it goes on to talk about God releasing judgment on his foes and releasing the fire of God while at the same time blessing and restoring and building up his people. And this is the hour we're in. There's both judgment and there's both blessing and glory. We're in an hour of glory and an hour of judgment. And the Lord is saying to his people and to us right in this room right now, to all of us, prepare your hearts. Tremble at his word. Because much is coming to us. And whom much is given, much is required. Amen. Amen. Awesome, man.
That is so awesome. Really. We've been talking for weeks about this. The tendency we have to become, to be self-centered. You know, even in our faith, we are very self-centered people. Everything is about what God's saying to us. What is the plan that you have for our lives? And, you know, it's important to have self-government, but it's never about us. It's always about God and what he's doing through us and how his plans are going to be executed and making him the center. And so I want to talk a little bit out of this message from Jay Peterson, a lot out of it, and kind of bring it into where we are in this season, because everything from even the talk about the bills in the beginning all the way to the tent to the different people that shared during worship, it all fits together like this amazing presentation. That was an amazing just picture that Josiah gave. It was, that's so powerful. I love Captain America. He's my hero. One of my heroes, but the big H hero is Jesus. He is like the ultimate unsurpassed hero. So we talked a lot out of Romans. We talked about, you know, how God's not called us to live according to the law. We are to live according to the law, but not out of compulsion or having to perform or do something, because Christ has done it all. The law is lovely, but it pointed to all our imperfections and frailties, and it caused us to not be able to do what the law wants to do, which was live in fullness of life in the perfection and glory of heaven. And so Christ had to come, die for us, wipe away that whole penalty, so that now we can live with all our hearts to the Lord. And if we mess up and have imperfection, it doesn't matter, because God's saying, it's your heart, it's your heart, it's your heart. Have you looked to me? Have you made me your Lord? Have you received the work? And this is what's key, because when we talk about grace, some say, well, it doesn't even matter. You know, that means every human being, regardless of their response, is forgiven. But that's not true. That's because it was a free gift, but you got to receive the gift. You see that? And so when we're talking about what we're going to be talking about today, everything good is not just given to everybody. It is free and it is a gift of grace, but you got to receive it. That's why there will be some that do not enter into the kingdom of heaven, because they didn't receive the gift. And the gift of Christ and his work on that cross is the only entrance key. But if you don't have him, you are not going to make it, because you, my friend, are not perfect. I could be even meaner and say, you are stinking, scoundrel, ugly, yuck. Without Christ, we are that. We are the scum of the earth, the dust, the dirt, the grime, the best that we are. But with Christ, he washes us, and we now stand complete in him, fully righteous, shining with the glory of God. Oh, woo! Okay, so we talked about all this last week. That was the review. That we may be found in him. We are talking out of Romans. Right, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which is through faith in Christ, that righteousness which comes from God. And we talked about how many of the churches settled for assurance of salvation rather than salvation itself. An assurance is a confidence that you're going to make it to heaven. Salvation itself is starting to walk now, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Letting him do a work, transform you, and letting your life be like a massive signpost, witnessing, testifying of the greatness of God right now on this earth. That's what he wants for you right now. Not assurance only, but salvation itself. And I shared that vision last week. You could listen to it, of a lame army, all injured, rising up off the field, being blown into by the Holy Spirit, and walking up and beginning to shine with radiance. Jesus ushered in a whole new era, a rushing of heaven onto the earth. It's like Matthew 6, a kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, God is releasing faith and hope for new life, not only to those who have never experienced God's love and salvation. Hear me, church. It's for us. It's for us to see a whole new season, a whole new life. To those who are not walking in a life of resurrection. Resurrection is not subtle change. It's death to life, light from darkness to light. It's a breaking in of significant outpouring. It's a move of the Spirit to overcome your apathy, complacency, and, as so well said by Anna, unbelief. Healing from unbelief. Like Emily said, it's a changing of the atmosphere. That was such a powerful word Emily gave, if you listen to it. So amazing. I mean, that was like, I was just like, whoa, that is so powerful. It is time. Now, what's wonderful about this is, you know, I doubt there's many, but there may be some that say, oh no, here he goes. Because I'm going to talk a little bit about financial wealth. And we're going to get into it, the story of King David, kind of where things are. And some may say, oh no, here we go. Here he is, he's preaching because they need money. Guess what? We don't need any of your money. Really? There's all these opportunities coming up for the church, and the bottom line is we are not in a place where we need anything. We really don't. We don't. We're paying our bills, no problem. We have a net earning, which means we are saving money for our refinance. We're in a very, very good place. We do not need more money. I mean, we do kind of, you know, tongue in cheek here. But we're not desperately needing anything. This is not out of a motive of that. So, Selah, that's it. The reason, the intent, this whole message is one thing. It is time. There's a demarcation right now in so many areas of our life. The eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro across the earth, looking to see who is faithful. That's what's happening now. And finances is the very core of our sustenance. It sources our lives on this earth. Even if you're the most spiritual being, it pays the bills, gives us a place to stay, it allows us to give to people. My most favorite scene, I think, that caused me to cry every single time on The Chosen is when Peter is stressing out about his provision. He's ready to go to jail. He's in hot water. He tried to do things in his own strength. He ended up in trouble with the Roman authorities. He owed taxes. And then Jesus comes up to his boat and looks at him and says, hey, listen, can I use this boat for a second? He's like, listen, I have things to do. People see, don't you see? I'm busy. I've been up all night. I have all these things to do. Ah! He's ready to melt down. And Jesus just kind of smiles and says, believe me, I'll make it worth your while. Just give me some time here. And he preaches. And then afterward, he looks and he says, and you know, Peter's like, in this movie, if you've not seen it, you got to see it. The Chosen, this episode just breaks my heart because it's the dissolving of self-reliance and a trust in the Lord. So then Jesus just looks and says, hey, would you humor me and throw it over there? Now the boat's on the shore. And Peter's like, oy vey. Not really in the movie, but I'm just adding some here. They throw it down. He's like, whatever. The whole thing starts rumbling and shaking as these fish start just appearing in this net and they can't even pull it into the boat. I mean, it just breaks my heart because God cares about our needs more than us. More, I mean, he would have rather had Peter just trust him and God would have provided and he wouldn't have had to go through all that excruciating torment. This is Father's heart. He like loves you for real, extravagantly. And the only reason he lets you go through hard times, he's like, I got to get rid of all the resistance to just believing me. It's this unbelief issue. He has to let you wallow in your despair and come to the end of yourself so he can say, oh yes, now I can actually see my plans and purposes come through your heart and your life. Yeah, this is what's, You know, I heard so clear in worship, we don't give because there's need. We give because there's God. And what makes this such an important time is that we are in a season of a massive transfer of wealth, a massive, massive, massive transfer of wealth. We haven't begun to see the fullness of it. It's just little, teeny tricklings, and we're like, woo, woo. Like with our stimulus checks, you're like, woo. We feel bad for the government and the situation and the direction it's heading, going into debt. But you're like, oh, no problem. Bring it into my account. That's fine. But that's only the beginning. But you know the thrill of getting that there and just going, wow, this is crazy. I know so many people that have gotten out of debt during COVID. I mean, massive transfer, but it's not, it's only the beginning of what's coming. I'm talking massive transactions, shifting, transfer, and it's like what Josiah said, it is imperative. God is looking at you now. Not when you're given that wealth. It is a demarcation. Do you know what that means? It means things are being marked out and labeled. It's like Ezekiel 10, where the angel was going through the city and God said, everyone who's crying out for the gross darkness in the land, I want you to mark their foreheads. Demarcation. And there was a scribe taking note of those things. And then God said, now annihilate everything without that mark. It's kind of like the reverse of the mark of the beast, right? And that's how God does things, right? He doesn't say, mark everyone that's bad, and then like, we'll reveal the good. He's about releasing such favor and blessing and marking people with the signature of my family, my son, my daughter. And those will rise and bring light to the earth. Like, this is how God operates. God doesn't mark the bad. He's not like, slap, slap, slap. Now penalize them, lock them up. Like some people do today. He's like, mark the good and let them flourish and provoke those who are bad to come to my heart. Like such redemption, such powerful love that just flows and calls forth the good and breathes on and has it explode and then says, now rise and let all the earth see my goodness. I want them into my heart. This is like the Father's heart. This is the blessing of heaven. This is how God is. And there's a breaking in of heaven onto the earth with wealth. There's a massive transfer. How will you respond? This is the key. This is what Steph said. Imagine every prayer answered. Answered prayer is wealth, folks. It's not just about money. It's about all the resources of heaven, including finances, coming to earth and being applied to every situation that's wrong. Shalom is making wrong things right. Shalom, peace, equals wrong things right. It's transformation. It's eradicating injustice. That is shalom, the peace of heaven. Coming on earth. Now, when it comes to King David, I want to get into this really quick. Oh boy, not possible. Golly, every week I go to get into this section. Last week I did the same, couldn't get there. This week, I try to break into it. It's the appropriation of all that I've been talking about, all service. And so I just want to end and just literally, that was the introduction. But we just want to, I want to give God a chance to move, because where this is headed is that all the staleness of our Christianity, and what I mean by that is the places that you say, I know that God heals, but I'm not healed. I know that God strips away emotional disorders, but I'm not healed. I know that God provides our needs, but I don't have provision. I know that God wants to use me as a light, but I can't seem to see people receive the gospel from me. All these places, unanswered prayer, places where we aren't seeing the reality of heaven on earth, and we're in this parousia. It's this place of the now, but not yet. It's this place where heaven's breaking in, but everything's not fully realized, like when we stand before the throne of heaven, in heaven. We're in this tumultuous period, tumultuous 2020s. We're in this season where heaven is breaking in, hell is trying to disrupt, and there's a warfare and this tumult, and the body of Christ is being stirred and risen up to begin to be a voice and speak and release heaven and release goodness and release light. This is the place we are, and it has to start with your heart, our hearts, our hearts, our hearts, our hearts. It's not about, you know, where we're going to get into in the coming weeks here is that, you know, it's not about you giving your tithe. It's not about you filling all these things that you're supposed to do, reading your word an hour a day, going to church every Sunday and going to life group and all these things, which all of them are really good. They're very beneficial to you. You tithing is not beneficial to anybody but you. It's your opportunity to show God that you really trust him like you say in action. It's like a little toddler's benchmark to say, will you give me 10% of what I've given you? I mean, this isn't like you could get into all the theological, well, the tithing doesn't exist now. No, no, silly. It's 100% now. Get out of that one, you little theological rat. No, really. You know my heart, though. I hate it when the enemy uses intellect to rob people from the intent and the heart of the matter, which is, I want to bless you. Do you trust me? Then give me something back. Show me, show me, show me that it's beyond words and confession. Show me your heart really trusts me. And if your heart really trusts him, then it's no big deal. 10%, you're after 20 and 30 and 40. You're like out of this place of obedience. We're going to get into some of this. The heart of David, who exceeded the law, exceeded the demands. He had a heart that was after God. What does that mean? It's someone who trusts the Lord. This isn't brain science. This isn't heavy theology. It's like the basic gospel. Do you trust God? Then prove it by the way you live. No empty confessions whose lips praise me and your hearts are far from me. And we love to be deceptive. We love to just play rational games that convince us we're good. That is the human dilemma. Convincing that we're good. We don't need Christ fully. We would never say that because of our theology, right? And theology, as long as we have theology and an idea of what we believe, nothing else matters, right? Wrong. Your heart matters. It's not what you believe or what you say. It's what how you live, what your heart is saying. Your heart is what everything in heaven sees. Now, it works on the reverse, too. You mess up and you have a heart after God. All of heaven sees the heart. And they're like, that's why King David did some tragic things, some very, very bad things. Today he'd be kicked out of ministry. He killed people. Yet he repented and God forgave him. Why? Because his heart. And then some people did everything right. And they're like, depart from me. I don't know you. Why? Because their heart. And this whole challenge is saying, prepare your heart. I don't care what it is. Apple pies, whatever. Unforgiveness, offense. Trying to hold on to your way of doing things. Trying to control your life. If you have a hard time losing control, you have a huge liability right under your nose. There is no place in the kingdom for a controlling individual. Because there's no place for control when it comes to surrendering everything to Jesus. I'm telling you, folks. And this message is being preached to you for no other reason than to see the fullness of Christ and his kingdom released in your heart and your life. This is not for any reason whatsoever. No hidden agenda, no hidden motive. It is God wants to do something so spectacular. Like what you're starting to taste of and see is just the water up over our ankles. There's so much more. It's going to be extravagant. We are going to sit around in the coming years. I'm telling you, mark my words, and we're going to talk about the extravagant ways that God has moved miraculously. And we're going to sit here and we're just going to be giddy, laughing at how outrageous God is. We're just going to be like, can you believe what he did? Wow. I mean, like, it's already begun. It's already begun. Many of you, you could share these outrageous things that God is already doing in our midst. Father, we pray that you prepare our hearts. Some of you at home, I just felt like the Lord spoke. Some of you at home, listen, you've been tried and tested. And even through this COVID season, you've had to deal with fears. Some of you may not have even dealt with your fears. And the Lord's saying, will you trust me? I am bigger than COVID. I am bigger than financial collapse. I am bigger than social calamity. I am bigger than invasion of foreign troops. I am God over all the universe, over all creation, over United States of America, over China, over Europe, over India, over Indonesia, and Iceland, and Antarctica. I'm the God of humans. I'm the God of polar bears. I'm the God of dogs and animals and cats and insects and ants and snakes, all creation. The mountains and the hills and the oceans and the lakes and the ponds and Winnipesaukee. And if you're there, open your heart. It's time. Demarcation. It is time right now for you to make a decision. A decision to trust God over every other situation. Come on, let's pray. Wherever your heart is right now, bring it to him. Bring your heart and say, here it is, Lord. Take my heart. I abandon my own self, my trust in myself, my own way, my own intellect, my own rationalism, my own theology. I lay it before you and say, come, creator of heaven and earth, flood my heart, flood my soul, flood my mind, flood my brain. Reprogram all the things that are contrary to your truth and your culture, your way. You are the way, the truth, the life, the light of men. Come on, right now, let's just invite him in. Invite him to start a whole new season in your life. Invite him as though you were coming to him, not even knowing him, saying, Lord, let it begin a whole new season in my life. Let me be saved again if it was possible. Come like a little child. Come hungry. Come willing. Come vulnerable. Come fresh. Say, Lord, come. Come and do something fresh in my life. All new season. Come on, let's go. Let's just respond to him, Lord. Believe me, folks, this has been challenging for me. I'm coming as you come and say, Lord, do a fresh work in me. All new, all new, all new. New ways of thinking, new ways of acting. New habits, new routines. Come on, this is a new day for you. Out with the old, in with the new. Come on, let's respond to him. Do a divine exchange. Out with the old, in with the new.
I'm really feeling like the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on one area that we need to really look at it in our hearts, and that is judgment. This COVID thing has divided a lot of people. Oh, I don't agree with the vaccine. Oh, I'm getting the vaccine. There's so many divisions, masks, everything. Have we formed judgments in our hearts? Have we formed judgments, you know, about leadership? I don't agree with the tent thing. Why are we spending so much money? Search your hearts. So I'm just feeling this so strongly that God wants us to take some time this week and just look to see where have we judged others. And we need to cleanse ourselves of those judgments and be pure and right before God. I want to challenge you to do that. It's really important.
Come on, respond to God. Let's go. This room, I saw some of you just jumping up. That's why I was just asking someone, like, hey, do you have something to share?
And so as Sean was preaching, what I saw was a loaf of bread that had gotten hidden in the back drawer, and it was all moldy, and it was disgusting. And what God spoke to my heart is, what is the foundation of penicillin? It's moldy bread. And so you have mold and mildew in your life that God wants to redeem. He wants you to come up here. He's not going to get rid of it. He's going to turn it into the penicillin that the lost need for salvation. It's going to be the penicillin. It's going to be those things done in darkness that are going to be forgiven, that are going to be brought into light. They're going to become light so they can be tools for the kingdom of God. So there are things that you need to let God shine the light on the mold of your heart so that it can become light. Don't be afraid to come forward. This is a place of redemption. This is a place of reconciliation. And this is a place where darkness becomes light, where power is released.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you, Carolyn, I just saw like bolts of power and lightning coming into you, and you were just like this off your seat. And I literally saw it, and I was like, she must have something, because she's just like, And so anyway, if it's not that, I'm just praying for total healing, total filling of the Spirit, new release of new things in your heart right now as God's just surging through you. We pray for this surgery coming up, that the doctors would be astounded, that just There is a God. There's healing being released. There's power being released. I just saw a whole new assignments being laid out on the desk of the general. And they're just like being ordered to the Lord. And new orders coming, new assignments. Things are being released from the heavenlies. Just literally like, I saw like bolts. Boom, 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 boom. Lord, let it be, Father. Let it be, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Pour out, Father God. Pour out, Lord. Oh, here we go.
I've just been feeling this all service. I break right now the taunting of the enemy. We break his power in the name of Jesus and by his blood. I just thank you, Father, right now. I thank you. It's broken in Jesus' name. We say, back off. And I thank you for fulfillment of every word that's been spoken this morning in Jesus' name.